I want to speak this morning very briefly on the meaning of Christmas. Why is it that at Christmas time we give presents to each other? Why is it that at Christmas time we put up lights? And it's a time of rejoicing. Well, of course it is. Because Christmas is a time, it's not just that the winter is long and we'd better break it up with some little festival. I know many in the world would think of Christmas like that, but that is not it. Christmas is a special time because at this time we celebrate the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God to this world which is broken and in sin. God has been good to us. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian here this morning, you have to acknowledge that God has been good to us. And God has especially been good to us by giving us His Son. There's a verse in the Bible that I want to read and then I want to speak on it very briefly this morning. And this is what it says. It's found in the Gospel of John. And these are words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. And Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." What does this mean? What is it that Jesus came to do? Well, I promise you I won't keep you for long, but briefly I want to look at this verse. I want to unpack it and show you its meaning. Why did Jesus Christ come? Well, the first thing that we see in this verse is that He came to give us life. I have come that they may have life. What does this mean? Well, obviously it doesn't mean biological life. We're all alive today. We have biological life. We breathe the air, we sing the carols, and we follow the readings. But the Bible tells us that there is more than biological life. There is spiritual life. We human beings are a special creation of God. When God created the universe, He first created all the plants and all the animals and all the birds and all the marine life. And then finally, as the pinnacle of His creation, at the top of His creation, He created human beings. And human beings, of all His creation, the only ones we have a soul and we have something called spiritual life. I know there are people who say, well, we're just animals and we're no different to the rest of the animal world. They live, they eat, and they die. But you know, there is more to it than that. And I think all of us know this, that there is more to it than that. We all have a kind of a hunger. We all have this feeling, surely life is more than just all the physical aspects of it. We live, yes, we eat, yes, we drink, yes, we have fellowship with each other, we have friends, we have work and so on. But surely there's more to life than that. And there is. Now when the Bible speaks about life, it speaks about this spiritual life that is found in God. The Bible says that we who are human beings at one time, we were without this spiritual life. We were in darkness. And the Bible uses language like this. It says we were dead in sins and trespasses. No spiritual life. We were imprisoned and slaves of sin. We were those who were separated from God. No life because we have no communion, no fellowship, no knowledge of God. There's a very famous story in the Bible of a man who had two sons. And one of his sons takes his share of the estate and leaves his father and goes off to a far country. And then after some time he comes back. And he's reconciled to his father. When he comes back, his father hugs him and receives him back. And the father says, "This son of mine was dead and is now alive." You see what he meant. Yes, he was alive when he was in that far country, but there was no fellowship between us. It's only when the son came back and was reconciled to his father that he had spiritual life, or rather that he had life. And it's a picture of how when we are reconciled to God, that we have spiritual life. Until then, we are imprisoned by sin. We are separated from God, and we have no spiritual life. How do we get spiritual life? How do I become spiritually alive? Well, this is why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us life. And Jesus lived a perfect life here on earth. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. You know, you cannot separate Christmas from Easter. You cannot separate the manger from the cross. You cannot separate the birth of Jesus from the death of Jesus. The very purpose for which he was born in Bethlehem, the very purpose for which he came, was that he might die on that cross. And as he died to bring life to his people. This is one of those contradictions in the Bible, you might say, one of these remarkable paradoxes in the Bible, that as Jesus dies, as Jesus sheds his blood, so he is securing life for his people. As Jesus' life is being drained from him, so he's securing spiritual life for his people. And all who know Christ and love Christ and have come to Christ and asked him to save them, to wash them from their sin, all who know him as Lord and Savior have spiritual life. The prison door is open. The grave is open. And we who know Christ as Christians, born again, we have spiritual life. Can I say this to you? If you're not a Christian here this morning, you may have a lot in this world. And of course, the world has a lot to offer. And we're very blessed to live in a country where there isn't civil war and there isn't unrest all the time. We're not being bombarded by our enemies. We're not having bombs in our streets. Aren't you glad of that? I began my sermon by saying, whoever we are, we must give thanks to God, and we have much to give thanks to God for. But although you may have much of this life and much of the things of this world, until you have Christ and until you have salvation, until you have the forgiveness of sin, until you know him as Lord and Savior, you will always remain spiritually thirsty. You will always remain unfulfilled, unsatisfied. You will always go through life saying, there is more to life than this. And there is. Christ came to bring life, to bring salvation, the forgiveness of sin, and reconciliation with the Father. But then there's a second thing that we read in this verse where Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so what Jesus is saying is that he came to give us a life of joy and peace. Do you know one of the most misunderstood things in the world is the Christian faith? We Christians, I'm constantly amazed how misunderstood we are. When I go for a walk on the seafront and I speak to people, I'm one of those people, I just talk to people who are around. And they usually ask me, what do you do? Usually the first question is, where do you come from? And then what do you do? And I say, I'm the pastor of a church. And we talk about what it means to be a Christian. And it seems to me most people's idea is that a Christian is a religious person. A Christian is a person who has decided to be religious, who has decided to read the Bible, has decided to pray, has decided to go to church. And that's what makes a person a Christian. Do you know that's false? As I've explained, a Christian is a person who has spiritual life. A Christian is a person who has forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. A Christian is a person who has been reconciled to the Father. But there is more to it than that. A Christian is a person who has joy and peace. Because to be a Christian is to be a beloved child of God. Now think about that. It means to be loved of God. The heart of God is filled with love and mercy and compassion and kindness. And all who come to him through Christ, all who come to him asking him for salvation, the forgiveness of sin, they receive not just salvation and forgiveness of sin, but they receive the love of God. God pours his love into their hearts. God delights in them. There's a verse in the Bible that says God sings over his people with joy. And God rejoices in his people because he's our Father. And some of us, we've had fathers who loved us. I know that's not always the case. And you know what that's like? And that is the experience of every Christian. We know God is our Father. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. God the Holy Spirit lives in us. This is a life of joy. It's a life of peace. It's a life of constant joy because the love of God is constant. God doesn't say, as long as you do good things, as long as you go to church, as long as you pray, then I will love you. But the moment you stop that, I will stop loving you. That's not how the love of God is. The love of God is this constant love that brings joy and peace to God's people. Can I ask you this as a serious question? Do you want a life which is a joy-filled life? Do you want a life where you know that the Father in heaven loves you, accepts you, is delighted in you? Isn't sitting there with a heavy stick saying, do this and do that, and you've disappointed me, and you've done this again, and you've done that again. That's not God the Father. He's a loving Father. And he loves his children. All who come to him through Christ, he loves them. And so we have this life of joy and peace. Now, of course, we go through all the trials of the world. We're not immune from that. We go through all the difficulties, the sickness and the financial strains and the anxiety and the depression. Of course, we go through all of that. But for the Christian, underlying all those things is the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, the knowledge that God is my Father and he loves me. So Christ came to bring life. And Christ came to bring a life of joy and of peace. And it's an everlasting peace. On Christmas Day, 110 years ago, 1914, you know this story well, don't you? That the British soldiers and the German soldiers, you know, they'd been fighting each other since September 1914 when the war began. And then on Christmas Day, 1914, just a few months after they'd been fighting each other, they decided, hey, this is Christmas Day. Let's not fight today. In fact, let's meet together. And I'm not sure exactly how it happened. The story is there are some vague parts to it. But eventually, the British soldiers and the German soldiers came out of their trenches. And they shook hands and they gave presents. And they drank wine and they smoked cigars. And somebody produced a football. And they played a game of football. It became very famous, this incident. And you might say, there is peace. Look at these people. There are the Germans and there are the British. And there is peace here. But the following day, they were back in their trenches. And they were firing their guns at each other. And the war went on. For another 4 years, and 20 million people died in that brutal war. The peace that this world gives is temporary. It's not real. It's not permanent. But the peace that God gives is this eternal peace through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And then thirdly and finally, I want to say this. That he came to give us a life of joy and peace freely. I wonder if I've whetted your appetite. I wonder if you're now thinking, I would love to know the love of God. I would love to know God is my Father. I hope you're thinking like that. Do you know, it is a great thing to know God is your Father. It is a great thing to be a Christian. It is a life of joy and a life of peace. And I wonder if you're asking to yourself, well, how do I become a Christian? What do I have to do? This is the instinctive question that we always ask. What do I have to do? Whenever somebody offers us something, we immediately, well, what must I do? And even if they say it's a gift, we immediately say, well, I'd better buy them a gift as well. But God's gift is a free gift. The reason why we enjoy Christmas and rejoice over Christmas is because God has given us a gift freely. We didn't deserve Christ. We're all sinners, all of us. We've all disobeyed God. We've all gone away from God into rebellion and sin. We've all turned our backs on Him. But God freely gave us a gift. It's called grace. Grace is when God blesses those who deserve judgment. It's when He saves those who deserve condemnation. And the gift of God is a free gift. You cannot earn it. Many years ago, when I first became a Christian, somebody gave me a Bible. It was a beautiful Bible. I still got it. Leather bound and, you know, superb. And I remember thinking, I'd better pay them for it. And this person came and said, look, it is a gift. You do not pay for a gift. You accept the gift. That is true, you know. God isn't saying, you must become religious, you must do this, you must do that, you must do this, and then you will deserve my gift. It is a free gift. All we have to do is ask God. All we have to say is, Lord, will you save me? Will you make me one of your children? Will you bring me out of the prison, out of darkness, out of this life where I have no satisfaction and no real joy and no real peace? Will you bring me out of this life into a life of joy and peace where I know God as my Father, Christ as my Savior, and heaven as my home? So all you have to do is ask and you will receive. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. And so it is a free gift that God gives to us at this time because His Son died on the cross. It is all through Christ. So the answer to that question, how much did it cost? Well, there are two answers. To us, it cost nothing. To Christ, it cost His very life. He paid it all. He paid the penalty for our sin. He cleared the law of God. He clears our guilt. He clears our consciences. And we receive free salvation. Are you a Christian this morning? Would you like to become a Christian? Why not today simply ask God to save you, to bring you into His kingdom, and to make you one of His beloved children?